Everybody take your Bibles, please, and turn to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4 and verse 35. This is a very interesting story. Mark chapter 4, verse 35 through 41. If you find it and you can, please stand in honor of God's word. Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. Ready? The same day, when the even was come, he said unto them, let us pass over to the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was in the ship. And there was also with him the other little ships. And there rose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him, and said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? They feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the winds and seas obey him? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity that we can come and hear from your word. And dearly Father, I pray that you just use your word as you see fit this morning. And dearly Father, I can't meet the needs of everyone here in this room, but dearly Father, you can. And so dearly Father, I pray that you just help me to follow your guiding and your directing. And I pray that you just guide me and you make me a vessel fit for your use. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. At this passage, the Lord had a long day of preaching, and you know, the thing about it is that there was multitudes and crowds following Christ, and the crowd was so great that the Bible talks about that he was actually teaching from the boat. And you know, a lot of the great topics that we teach in Sunday school class and whatnot were taught on this day. You have the parable of the sower, and you know, the fact that some fell upon hard ground and some fell on soft ground, and so on and so forth. And the fowl of the air came and plucked some out, and referring to the seed of salvation and the sower. And so here's the thing: is also you have the candle under the bushel on how you know, a lot of times we have the children's songs, this little light of mine, and all this other stuff, and how we're supposed to be a light in a very dark world. And this was taught that day, and also the parable about the coming harvest, on how the harvest truly is plenteous, but the labors are few. And then you have the parable or the story about the mustard seed, on how if we have the faith, the grain of the mustard seed, we can move mountains. But here you have this passage takes place at the end of a day. And if you know, the thing about it is that I don't know about you, but at the ending of the day, you get a little tired. And anyways, Jesus had worked hard. He had taught a lot of people. And he was with his disciples at the end of the day. And it was a very full day and an adventurous day. But this was a time that the disciples would soon forget. And he had one more lesson to teach them, and it was a valuable lesson that he had to teach the disciples. And so verse 35, the Bible says here, on the same day when the even was come, he said unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. Now, what a great promise here that God had made them. God was saying, listen, we're going to get in this boat, and we're going to pass over to the other side. And I think this is kind of why, skipping forward a little bit, that God asked them, why are you so fearful, and why do you have no faith? It's because God had made a promise. You know, this speaks of a journey with Christ. And I tell you what, any journey with Christ is a whole lot better than a journey without Christ. And, you know, here's the thing is, because when we journey with Christ, we have fellowship. The Bible talks about how, you know what, we can have fellowship with Christ, and how we have the ability to be friends of God, and we can pray and approach the very throne of God, and God gives us His Word, and this is the way He talks to us. And listen, we can have a journey with Christ. Christianity is not just you know, a lot of times people think that Christianity is a book of don't do this and do this. Christianity is a relationship. True Christianity. True Christianity is not something that we say, I can't do that, or you know what, I'm supposed to do that. It's a relationship with Christ. That, you know what? The Bible talks about freedom in Christ. I have the freedom to do anything, but you know what? Because I love Christ, I'm here. Because I love Christ, you know what? And here's the thing, is because Christ loved me, I don't have to be in bondage to sin. And so anyways, you know what? This let us pass over to the other side speaks of a journey with Christ. And it speaks of safe passage for the journey. The Christian life is like this journey. You know, the thing about it is we may be weary when he calls us, but you know what? We'll never regret traveling with Christ. I'll never forget, as just a little a young man, when I was in West Richland, Washington, I remember my parents had taken me to a week-long time of vacation Bible school. Or, I'm sorry, it wasn't vacation Bible school, it was neighborhood Bible time. Pretty much similar, but anyways, and I just shared a little bit of my testimony in Sunday morning and or Sunday school. And but the thing about it is that as a young boy, I remember the story. I remember hearing a lot of Bible stories, but I remember hearing the story about Noah and the promise that God had made Noah, and the fact that God never breaks his promises. And that, you know what, the rainbow was a sign of the fact that God had made a promise to Noah that God would never destroy the earth by water again. And the thing about it is I remember hearing the promises about how, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Here's the thing is, I knew that I was a sinner. I knew that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know what? As a young boy, I was in trouble probably more than I should have. But the thing about it is that, you know what? You didn't have to tell me I was a sinner. I knew it. But when I heard the story about Jesus and the fact that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins, and that he made a promise that he would love even me. And you know what? He would forgive my sins. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I knew I was a sinner. I knew I was on my way to hell. But you know what? That was good news that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins. And all I had to do was place my faith and trust in him. And you know what? I'll never forget. I left that neighborhood Bible time. And I went to, I can picture it like it was yesterday. I knelt down at the couch right in front of the picture window in West Richland, Washington, and I prayed and accepted Christ. And you know what? Basically, Christ, I entered the journey with Christ that day. You know what? He goes with us through the entire journey. The Bible says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now, the thing about it is too many times we forsake Christ, but you know what? He never leaves us. We are guaranteed safe passage to heaven. The Bible talks about, I go to prepare a place for you. If it were not so, I would have told you, in my Father's house are many mansions. You know, the thing about it is there's so much in Scripture that about God's promises for the safe journey. But you know, the thing about it is just like this passage, we learn several things about this journey. In verse number 37, the Bible says this, and there arose a great storm of wind, and the winds beat into the ship so that it was now full. There arose a great storm of wind. The waves started coming into the ship. I'll never forget one time when we were up in Michigan, I had purchased a boat. I had there was plenty of water and plenty of boats, and I used to buy a boat, fix it up, enjoy it for a little bit, and then sell it and make some money. This one particular boat I had, there was a friend of mine. His name was Kyle Rogalski, and he was about ready to get married, and I believe I was his best man. And so, for the bachelor party, we decided we were going to go tubing, and so out on the Saginaw Bay. And the thing about it is, those we were so excited about it. We were checking the weather. And even though they said, oh, there's going to be, you know, however many feet waves, I told Kyle, I'm like, oh, you know, suck it up, buttercup. You know, don't be a pansy. You know, this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity and all this other stuff. And I talked them all into going tubing on the Saginaw Bay. And we had to go down the Saginaw River, and it took us about 35, 40 minutes to go down the river. And it was a no-wake zone all the way down the river. Talk about pansies. And as soon as we hit the bay, we full throttle out as far as we could go, you know. And as we were going out, the waves kind of started kicking up a little bit. And then we pulled the tube out, and we threw it out there. And I'm like, all right, who's first? And they looked at it. Everybody looked at me and said, well, we're not going to be the first one to go out there. And I'm like, who knows how to drive this boat? And they all looked at each other like a calf looking at a new gate, you know. But anyways, and so finally I talked one of them into getting on the inner tube. And we start going, the waves started kicking up so much, you couldn't even go a couple of feet before the inner tube would hit a wave and just launch right up. Anyways, it turned out to be a bust. And so we were deciding that, well, you know what, the boat ride was the bachelor party. And so we got everything in, and the waves started really kicking up. And Kyle was really starting to get worried. And Jason, my brother-in-law, was starting to get a little worried too. And anyways, there was four of us out there. And Kyle looks at me. He's like, I think it's time to go back. I'm like, why is that? He's like, because I want to live to see to get married tomorrow. and so I, all right, let's head back in. And we started head back in, and the waves started crashing across the front of the boat. And fortunately, it was a cuddy cabin, so it was all sealed in the front. And anyways, we hit a couple of waves strong enough where it knocked us all to the ground. And Kyle starts praying. And I'm like, boy, you really want to get married, don't you? And I don't know what the deal was. But anyways, the thing about it is that, listen, when it comes down, you know, I'll be honest with you, I was getting a little nervous. And so I'd taken boating classes and I'd been boating with my dad and all that, but that was a little beyond my comfort zone. But the thing about it is here you have the storm kick up. And I'm sure it was nothing like the storm that we had dealt with, probably a lot worse. And the waves started coming into the ship. And, here's the thing is, nature can be devastating and nature can be upheaving. But you know what? It hadn't always been that case. You look at the Garden of Eden, I tell you what, the most tranquil, peaceful place. And you know what? God had set up the Garden of Eden to be a place where Adam and Eve would rule and enjoy. But the thing about it is sin entered in and destroyed everything. And you know, the thing about it is just like that, sin enters into our life and destroys everything. That's why we need to keep a walk with God. But you know what? The lessons from this disciple were, they were obeying, and yet the storm came. Here's the thing is, they didn't tell God like sometimes before where, God tells Peter, let down the nets, plural, and he lets down a net. And you know, the thing about it is that sin, basically that net began to break. And so here's the thing is what happens is the disciples were actually obeying God and the storm kicks up. And so here's the thing is, you know what? There are times in our lives where the storms will kick up. And you know what? The thing about it is it's not necessarily from walking with God, but you know what? I tell you what, I've been through a lot of storms in my life. Maybe your storms have been a lot worse than mine. I don't know. But the thing about it is I've learned one thing in life is this. I would rather go through a storm with Christ than without Christ. And the thing about it is you know what I found that when I was studying this out in verse 36, and there were also with him other little ships, the end of verse 36. And so here's the thing is think about this for a moment. There was one ship that had Christ, one ship that had the promise, one ship that had the Savior sleeping in the back of the boat. I tell you what, if anybody had peace, should have had peace in that storm, it should have been that one ship. But the thing about it is think about this for a moment. The Bible said that there were other little ships that were in that same storm. And the thing about it is they didn't have Christ. They were smaller, weaker vessels. And the thing about it is Christ was not with them. They had a right to freak out because they didn't have the promise of the Savior. Thing about it is I'll be honest with you, as Christians born again, trusting in Christ, you know what? Storms will come. And you know what? We have Christ by our side. There's a certain peace. There's a certain calm that comes by knowing the Savior is with me and that the Savior has promised, I will never leave you nor forsake you. There's nothing worse. I remember as a kid, my sisters used to try and torment me. I did my fair share of tormenting them. But when I was real little, I'd be upstairs in the house and they'd run downstairs and then they'd yell up the stairs, "You're up there by yourself." And anyways, as a kid, I remember thinking, I don't know why that's bad, but it must be because my sisters are saying it. And so anyways, I'd get all scared and freaked out, and I'd run down the stairs where they were, and why I wanted to be with somebody. The thing about it is listen, when it comes down to it, when we're with the Savior, there's nothing to fear. The Bible says He is able. You know, we sing the song in junior church, He's able, He's able, I know He's able. We sing songs throughout the song books, and the thing about it is you know what the Bible says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I would rather go through the storm with Christ than without Christ. See, the thing about it is there are many people out in this world that are lost and on their way to hell because they're not with Christ. And I'll be honest with you, I would not want to be in their case. This is why we have outreach. This is why we pass out tracts to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is why we have a children's program. This is why we have our veteran service. This is why we have so much. This is why we support missionaries. Listen, missionaries are not just a reason to have another buddy across the seas and a pen pal. Missionaries are so that we can contract with them and say, listen, we will support you because you cannot support yourselves overseas. We're going to give you money so that you can share the gospel where we cannot go, and so that other people can accept Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And I'll be honest with you, any missionary that takes that money and goes there and decides to have a party, that is not somebody that we should be supporting. But the thing about it is that, listen, missionaries are people that we contract with to share the gospel. Why? Because there are so many that have not heard that Jesus saves. There are so many in Bucyrus that are lost and going to hell. And listen, we need to be the light, just like that Christ had preached earlier, the candle under a bushel. Listen, we need to get that bushel off and be the light and so shine so that we can show other people that Jesus saves, so that they can go through life with Christ in their boat. You know, see, the thing about it is there was a better day ahead. And in Isaiah chapter 35, it mentions this, for sake of time, I won't go there. But also the disciples learned in the storm that they were traveling with Jesus, yet the storm came, and they were in the center of the will, yet the storm came. The storm comes to us all. The difference is are we trusting in Christ? And see, here's the thing is, Christ had a purpose for this storm, for allowing it to enter. Verse 38 through 41, the Bible says, and he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on the pillow, and they awake him and said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the seas, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? And how is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, said one to another, What manner of is this, that even the winds and seas obey him? Jesus knew that the storm would come. See, Christ is all-knowing. God is all-knowing. And you know what? He always had the ability to send the storm away. All you have to do is look at all that Christ did in his lifetime, and I believe that that just is the tip of the iceberg of God's power. He healed the sick. He made the lame to walk. He healed the blind. And you know what? Here's the thing is, he died on a cross to forgive the sins of the world. He had the ability to do anything. But you know what? He chose to go through that storm with his disciples. Why? Because the storm enabled them to measure their faith. See, the thing about it is, listen, when it comes down to it, God allows storms to help us grow. You know, a lot of times there was a saying that talks about we grow more in the valleys than we do in the mountaintops. When everything is just fine, you know what? We don't really grow that much. But when things get tough, we realize what we place our faith in. They learn that Christ was with them in the storm and that he is up for any occasion. You know, there are different storms that God allows into our lives. Jonah's storm was to bring him back to the Lord. We think about Jonah and how he was running from God. God told him to go to Nineveh, and he decides to head towards Joppa. That storm was in his life to draw him back to God. I'll be honest with you, one of my prayers that I pray is, God, please, you don't have to get my attention. You have it already. Because the thing about it is God knows exactly how to get our attention. And so the thing about it is in Jonah's life, the storm was to bring him back to the Lord. Paul's storm was to provide a witnessing opportunity. And the thing about it is Paul was able to use that storm to see many people come to know the Lord. And the thing about it is you know what, sometimes God allows storms into our lives so that we can share the gospel. I think about my sister. I'm very proud of her. And she told me one time, she was in a hospital for long periods of time. And if you're in a foreign hospital, you know that nothing's like it is here in America. And she told me one time, she was in a hospital because she believed that there was people in that hospital that needed to know Christ. And so she decided that, you know what? She was in that hospital and she was going to share the gospel with every person that she ran across. You know what? If you've ever talked to or went out anywhere with my sister and brother-in-law, man, I tell you what, they share the gospel with everyone. See, some storms are an opportunity to witness. And this storm was to build the disciples' faith. So the thing about it is sometimes God allows a storm just to show us how good God is. Think about this for a moment. Look at what they say at the end. What manner of man is this that even the winds and seas obey him? Now here's the thing, is Christ could have told the disciples, hey, I'm in control of the weather. And you know what? That would have been nice. But how much more effective is it when you're in the storm and all of a sudden Christ says, peace be still. And those waves and those storms that almost sunk that ship, stop. I tell you what, that's a bigger expression of what God can do. And I tell you what, when we're in the midst of those storms, when we're in the midst of financial trouble, when we're in the midst of a loss of a loved one, when we're in the midst of whatever comes our way, the thing about it is you know what? When Christ goes through that storm with us and he calms that storm, I tell you what, our faith is so much more builded than just hearing a preacher say that, listen, God can calm any storm. It's much more of a faith-building storm than anything. Now listen, the last thing we need to do is judge the purpose of another storm. You know, too many times we see Christians and they say, well, old so-and-so, they're going through a storm. I bet you it's because they have sin in their life. We don't know that. We don't know what God's doing. You look at Lot. Lot was going through a storm. Lot's friends told him, curse God and die. They didn't know what Lot was going through. And so the thing about it is the last thing we want to do is judge the purpose of another person's storm. But yet at the same point in time, listen, if you do not know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior this morning, let me encourage you, any storm with Christ is a whole lot better than all those storms without him. And listen, God loves you so much, and he died on the cross for your sins. And listen, let me challenge you, if you have not trusted Christ as your Savior, trust Christ this morning. Don't walk through those doors without talking to somebody. Listen, we don't care if you're a church member. We don't care if you give. We don't care. Here's the thing is, what we care the most about is your soul and whether or not you're going to one day end up in heaven or hell. And listen, when it comes down to it, whether we weather the storms with Christ or without Christ, it makes a difference. And so here's the thing is, when it comes down to it, Jesus said, peace be still. And they ask, what manner of man is this? He is the one who invites us to travel with him. He is the one who goes with us through our storms. And he is the one who is up, always up to the occasion. So let me encourage you this morning. If you're going through a storm, trust in Christ. Trust in Christ. Just like that parable that Christ had taught earlier today, or earlier in that day, the faith, the grain of a mustard seed. Here's the thing, is trust in Christ. And let me tell you, if you have not trusted in Christ, if you don't know what it means to be saved, if you haven't trusted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, get that settled this morning. But for those of us that are saved, are on our way to heaven, you know what? Let's have faith through the storm that God can take care of it. God has given so many promises to us throughout Scripture. Let's claim those promises. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word, and we thank you so much for this truth in the Bible. And dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you just help us to trust in you, Dear Heavenly Father, it seems like so many times we're either coming out of a storm, we're either going through a storm, or we're coming up to a storm. But dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you just help us to live life with you right by our side. And dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you just help us to have faith and trust in you. And dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you just, I think about Jackie's song this morning, I Am Peace, I Am Love. And dear Heavenly Father, what a perfect song that was for this message. And dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you just help us to trust in you. And we'll pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.